Josh is going to be bringing the word. I just want to introduce him here and then just give him full reign to let it rip here. I just want to say, does everybody know Brother Josh Allen? Pretty much everybody's heard of our brother. I've been so encouraged by his efforts to reach out to the community. And, you know, Josh, clarify if I get anything wrong, you know, what you're doing. But from what I understand, you're just going out to a street corner you guys pick, and you're just ministering the love of Christ. You're evangelizing, praying for healing, preaching Jesus. It's on your shirt. It's on the sign. And I just want to say this. I think everybody here should go run with Josh when you're available on a Friday night or whenever they're going out. Take a night off from coming here. Go evangelize with Brother Josh sometime. And just get, because we kind of carry the prayer passion, but we have to have many other passions. And he's really strong in this evangelistic fire. So every once in a while, man, just go run with Brother Josh, lead some people to the Lord, lay hands on them, see miracles. And but I wanted Josh to share kind of just for that reason. I wanted him to just kind of rub off on us and to just keep that passion for lost souls alive and that passion to reach out and touch the community in tangible ways. You know, we're kind of in a building praying regularly, but we got to really focus on touching people in tangible ways as well. And so, bro, I just wanted you to come and share your heart. And so let me just come on up. I'll pray for you. And just uncork on us, man. We want you to bring it. So buckle your safety belt. By the way, I don't know how many months ago this was, but we were on a panel together for The Roar. Brother Andrew Whalen and Chris Berglund came into town, and we ended up on the same panel just sharing our heart. And just when you began to get up and preach, and you said, I can't sit to share this. I got to get up and I got to just pray. I'm like, dude, this guy's got a little something under the hood. But I liked that you did. But this is just my kind of guy, you know, just wants to uncork and go all out for the Lord. And I just need him to rub off on me tonight. So, Lord, just thank you for our brother. Thank you for his passion. Thank you for the whole Allen family. Just have your way tonight through this man, God. We just pray that there would be things shared tonight that we all need to hear, not just as a ministry, but personally as well. Bless the sharing and the hearing of the word in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen.
Go for it, brother.
You know, I didn't plan a message when I came here tonight, per se, because I'm not really smart enough to study and take notes and do all that kind of stuff. Every time I try that, I fall on my face. When you speak at a Christian meeting, you're supposed to open your Bible and at least read one verse and have an anchor verse that you go off of, because that's just what we do. So God gave me one of those a couple hours before I came here, so I've got that box checked. When you start doing things for Jesus, doors start to open for you, and people reach out to you, like Derek did. But I'm not here to talk about my ministry tonight. Most of you here, I think everybody here pretty much knows Jesus. I'm not going to assume that, but we'll definitely get to that by the end. So in a Christocentric way, a Jesus-centered way, I'm here to talk to you about you. I'm not here to put pressure on you to go evangelize or anything like that, because I never found that to work for me in all the years I was a Christian. I never found people tell me what I should do, people shouldn't on me, people tell me what I'm supposed to do, getting me motivated to go out and do anything. But what I did find really lit me up was when I found out who I was in Christ, who God created me to be. When my wife called me this morning, she, and I put her on the spot, she's not here, but she'll hear this later, she doesn't hear it now. She called me, she was a little worked up because she didn't think she was gonna hit it tonight. You know, she thought she was gonna miss it, to put it the shortest way. I just kept saying, you're anointed. And she said, there she is. She said, but you don't understand. I said, but you're anointed. And she'd say something again, and I said, but you're anointed. And I just kept telling her who she was. You're anointed. So sometimes we need to be reminded of who we are, not just who we are, but who God says we are. I'm just grateful for this place. I'm grateful for the worship team tonight. And I'm grateful for the Kistner family and Derek for holding this down for the last 7 years and the faith it takes for this. So my anchor verse is this, and I'll go from here. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Talking about God, it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified." Now, a lot of us hear that verse in Isaiah, I believe verse 42, where it says, "I'm God, there is no other. My glory will I not give to another." Well, it says right here, them he also glorified. We're not another. We're his body. I said, we're not another. We're his body. We're the body of Christ. He predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. We go back to the blueprint. We go back to the manual in the very beginning when the earth was dark, without form and void. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said all the other stuff, "Let there be animals that creep, let there be fish that swim, let there be birds that fly." Then God said, "Let us make man in our image." And that word, "let us," right there, if you look in the Amplified, "let us make man in our image," it wasn't just God, it was the triune Godhead. It was Father, it was Son, it was Holy Spirit. "Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make man," us, creation, "in our image. Let us make people to be as close to exactly like us as it is possible." If you want to translate that and expand that out. In the blueprint of the whole book that from cover to cover, all 66 books, is about Jesus. Is about the man who came in the form of God and showed us exactly not only who God was, not only showed us the way to heaven, but showed us what a son looks like. But who showed us what the image of God looks like. Who showed us what we were created to be and what we lost in the garden. You see, he didn't just come to get us to heaven. He didn't just come that we would get saved and make it there. He didn't just come that we would read our Bible and pray and come to cool Christian events like this and not watch R-rated movies and stuff like that. He didn't come to bring a religion. He did come to show us the way, but he also came to show us who we are. Because he came to seek and save that which was lost. I'm not going to quote a lot of chapter and verse tonight. I didn't see Jesus doing that. I used to have a few hundred of those memorized, but it would just trip me up. In Psalms, it says, "Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." So if something might come out tonight, punch it into Google. You'll probably see a reference come up. But it says, "Let us make man in our image." Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us make people to be exactly like us. When Jesus walked the earth, he showed us what the image of God looks like. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. He fed the poor with crumbs. He showed us exactly what God had created us to be. Not just what he could do. God can do anything. But he said, "The works that I do, greater works than these will you do." Why? Because I go to the Father. And a lot of times I hear carnal minds trying to dull that word down from Mark 11:23, saying, no, that's a different one. I hear people trying to dull that word down and saying, well, greater, yeah, because there's more people. No, he said greater. God in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, in red letters, said, "You will do greater works." And then he gave the why to it. He said, "Because I'm going to the Father." And if you look later in the scriptures, he said what he was doing when he was going to the Father. He was sending the promise of the Father, which is Christ in you, which is the Holy Spirit in you, the hope of glory. See, Jesus coming back is our hope, but right now, we're the light of the world. Because in the Beatitudes, it wasn't just the apostles he was preaching to. He was preaching to multitudes there. And it doesn't say how many, but when I think multitudes, I think hundreds. I think thousands of people who gathered when he sat down on that mountain, when he sat down on that hillside. Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world," but then he turned and he looked at the multitudes and he said, "You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid." Sometimes we forget who we are. Sometimes we need to be reminded who we are, that God has declared us righteous, that we have been made to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not just that we've been covered, not just that we've been clothed, but we are his righteousness. We are his body. We are his hands and feet here on the earth. You know, I hear a lot of, I don't want to pick at things here, but I believe in Christianity, one of the biggest stumbling blocks that we have, that I see anyway, is false humility. You can give someone a compliment and they'll say, well, it's all God. Oh, all glory to God, and we'll say some Christianese phrase, which a lot of times is true, and we got to remain humble, but if it was all God, what would he be using us for? He doesn't need us, but he chose to use us. We hold this treasure in jars of clay, that the glory wouldn't be of us, but it'd be of God. I'm just thankful tonight that he chose to use a former drug addict, former angry person, former lost and religious person who still misses the mark every day today, but he chose to use me, and he chose to use you. And the Christian life isn't about, am I going to have a ministry, or am I going to make a name for myself? It's about being a light everywhere we go. It's about being Jesus to a lost and dying and broken and evil world. It's not that I have to say something to someone when I'm in Walmart, or I'm in a grocery store, or I'm in TJ Maxx, or wherever we're at. I don't have to, but it's like I used to feel this awkwardness when I would go somewhere, like, oh, I can't say nothing to that person. That's embarrassing. And now the feeling is so much greater if I don't. When I feel Holy Spirit tug at me, we know when God's saying, hey, that person over there, you need to go say something to them. We know when it's him. But now the feeling is like, I feel like something died inside if I don't obey that prompting of God. But I came here tonight to remind you who you are. Not that you don't already know, but I just felt God tell me to put a revelation out in the air of who you are. And I think most of us know what time it is. When we look around the world, we can see that nobody knows the day. Nobody knows the day. But we know the season. We see the signs. We know that his coming is close at the door, and that we need to watch and pray. We know that he's coming to establish a kingdom here on earth, a physical kingdom that they wanted him to establish 2,000 years ago. We know that. We know that soon. We can see it. We can feel it. But the kingdom is at hand now. It's not just coming when Jesus comes back. That's the fullness of the kingdom. But Jesus said, and John Baptist said, the kingdom is at hand. And they said another really unpopular thing too that Peter stood up when he preached. It's a message that's lost today because it's so misinterpreted and misunderstood. Before they said the kingdom is at hand, they said the word repent. And a lot of times we take that word to mean, well, just stop sinning, you dirty, rotten sinner. And that's not what it means at all. It means the way it's described in Romans chapter 12, that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. The word repent means to change the way you think. The kingdom at hand means that God's ways of doing things are the way of doing things now. So what John Baptist was saying, what Jesus was saying, is change the way you think and look around, because God is here. He is in front of you. He is through all. He is above all. He is around all. He's here. And it's time that the scales fall from our eyes, because when Jesus came, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And that wasn't just to open the eyes of those who couldn't physically see. It was to remove the scales off of our eyes that the darkness in this world puts, that anxiety puts, that worry puts, that fear puts. Every thought, we bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The enemy gets us in the thought realm, because the first thing that he did in the garden, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but the first thing he did in the garden was trying to get us to sin, but it was trying to get us to walk away from our identity. And he used a little bit of a lie, where God knows when you eat of the tree, you'll be like him. Well, if I look back in chapter 1, I was already made in his image. I was made to be just like him. That statement right there is a very big statement in the Bible, that we were made in his image. Well, how are we supposed to know what his image looked like until Jesus came? He came and showed us. He didn't just walk around and say, can I pray for you? I love you. Will you come to church with me? Things like that. He raised the dead. He walked on water. When blind people called out to him and said, Jesus, he said, what do you want to do? I want my sight. We've got the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead living in us. The only thing separating us from doing the things that Jesus did is the way that we think, is the way that we see Jesus and the way that we see ourselves. And it's all been made plain in the scriptures. And I'm putting forth to you tonight that God is lifting the veil in these last days, that God is showing himself in these last days, that the scales are falling off our eyes. He is making the word plain. Words are jumping off of the page. The Holy Spirit is confirming the will of the Father that he is coming soon. And we are the ones that get to prepare the way. It's not about Christian superstars anymore. If I read the Bible all the way through, there's still prophets to come in the end. There's he still gave apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. There's all that stuff, yeah. But what about as many as received him? In John chapter 1, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. It doesn't say those who got a 4-year Bible degree, those who oversee a street ministry, those who have a house of prayer, those who have the title pastor. It doesn't say just them. It says as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. It doesn't say those who repeated the prayer. It doesn't say those who go to church every Sunday. It says those who received him, the person of Jesus Christ. Those who denied themselves, laid down their life. And I got to lay down mine all the time because that flesh tries to jump right back up. And it starts in my head. I start thinking wrong things. I start thinking things that are off. And I start making agreement with those hearts, because though the liar doesn't sit on the throne of my heart anymore, he still whispers in our ear. He still whispers things in our ear that don't go along with the word of God. And that's why we cast down imaginations. That's why we cast down imaginations. It's not a carnal war. It's not a war against flesh and people and other people. There's so much fighting in the body of Christ today, going back and forth. He said, she said, she's doing this, he's doing this. It's not about fighting with other people. The devil is trying to keep us divided here. He's trying to keep us from knowing who we are, because when the body of Christ sees Jesus for who he really is, figures out who we really are, and we come together and go, okay, well, I'm the foot, I'm the hand, let me go do some kicking, let me go do some punching, and we get out there and we do what the body's supposed to do. Everywhere we're at, not just when we're here on a Friday, not just when we're in the street on a Friday, not just when we're in a church house on a Sunday, but we're made to be the hands and feet of Jesus everywhere we go. Not as a burden, but as sonship, as sons. Let us make man in our image to be just like us. God knew that was going to be lost. It's all part of the plan. It's all part of the plan. But Jesus came to show us that. Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Not just one person walking the earth, showing the way, doing what the Father did, saying what the Father said. But thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people on the earth. Christ in you. The hope of glory. He didn't have to do it this way, but he chose to do it this way. He chose to choose us to carry his love, to carry his word, to carry his life, and to carry his power. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is a lot of who God is. And by our love for one another, that's how people know us. But what's been lost, for the most part, especially where we live here in comfortable America, is the power of God. Because we got the comfort God. We got the pillow God. We got the smartphone God. We got the TV God. We got the food God. We got all these idols. I didn't plan this. This is just coming out, okay? So if anybody needs to stone me afterward, I parked out back. We've got all these idols. We've got all these distractions. And that was one of the devil's biggest tools was, hey, look over here. It wasn't just disobedience and doing against what God said. It was, hey, look over here. Look at this other thing. Look at this thing that looks a lot like what God created. And it is something God created. But look over here. Look away from what he said. Did God really say? He put out a suggestion. That was a doubt. A little seed of doubt. Did God really say? Jesus was God in the flesh. Did God really say that I give you all power over the enemy? To trample on serpents and scorpions? And nothing shall by any means hurt you? Or did he say worry about it? Did he say you're not going to have food next month? Did he say you're not going to have a place to live, a place to stay? No, he said, look at the birds. He said, look at the birds. I take care of them. Look at the grass. I take care of them. Surely I love you and take care of you. Did God really say? What did God really say? What did he say? The whole book starts out with 9 or 10 times in Genesis. It says, God said, and God said, then God said, and God said, and God said. When we know what God says and we stand on what God said, no demon in hell, no devil in hell can turn us away from the identity that we were created to walk in, the image of God, and the perfect fruit that's in the garden. Nothing can turn us away from that when we know that we know that we know what God said. It's important to be in the Word. It's important to know the Word. It's important to have the Word hidden in our heart. Because the days are evil. And we're to be redeeming the time, making the most out of every moment. What did God say? What did he say about you? He said, you're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people, some weird folks. That's what he said. That's what Peter said. A peculiar people, I know I am, that should show forth praises unto him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, we're looking for revival. We're looking for more and more and more revival. Revival isn't just a feeling that floats down in the middle of a worship service. Revival isn't just a conference of a couple hundred people gathered and a couple of big name speakers. That ain't revival. That ain't revival. Revival starts in the heart when you get in the prayer closet and he starts talking to you. You start talking back to him. And he starts revealing things to you. He starts revealing himself to you. You start transforming into like who he is. Yeah, there's more coming. There's more anointing coming. There's more glory coming. We ain't seen nothing yet. But we're God's A-game. We're it. Chosen generation. Royal priesthood. Holy nation. Created in his image. He doesn't need us, but he chose to use us. He's called us righteous. He's called us worthy. How dare us walk around and say, oh, I'm not this, I'm not that. Who does he say we are? What did he say? It's almost anti-Christian thinking to talk bad about ourselves. We don't get to do that. We're his body. If I go around talking bad about my wife, my gosh. We don't get to talk bad about ourselves. What does God say? These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. They drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt with them. They'll take up serpents and scorpions. This is simple, Mark 16. I don't know how many people I've met that have been Christians for so long, don't know. The basic, these signs shall follow them that believe. Yes, the fruit's important. Love is number one. We do all these things and don't love our brothers and sisters. My gosh, we might as well just sit down on a couch. We're just sounding cymbals. But God never intended the gospel to be without power. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is power. And it comes in realizing, I heard a line from Smith Wigglesworth say, A lot of people know who Smith is. I think most people in this room. Raise the Dead, great revivalist of the, I think, 50s. And he said, I operated according to the knowledge of it. When people would get up from the dead, when all these miracles would happen, he said, I operated according to the knowledge of it. He was known as a violent man before God got a hold of him. But he knew what God had said. And he took God at his word. Jesus was the Word made flesh. If you want to know who God is and what God says about you, look at what Jesus said. He called regular, ordinary people, fishermen, tax collectors, a demon-possessed guy. And he said, hey, go to Bible school for 4 years and then you come follow me. No, he didn't. He said, come follow me. And then he called them together for a bunch of professional technical training and then he sent them out. No, he didn't. He called them. He gave them power. He sent them out. He said, go. Tell people the kingdom's at hand. Heal the sick. He didn't even say pray for the sick. James says that for the elders of the church, if somebody needs healing, because there's more than one way, okay? God made a lot of ways. Jesus is the way, but he made us a lot of ways to get to him. Jesus is the only way to the Father, but he's always seeking us out, okay? But he didn't tell his disciples to go pray for the sick. He gave them power and he told them to go heal the sick. He told them to go cast out demons. He told them to go raise the dead. That's red letters. If I read that as a history book, I see Jesus talking to 12 people. If I read that as a living word of God, that it was intended to be, that he died and shed his blood for to manifest to all of us, I see God in the flesh, a living word, a model, an outline, telling people what would happen if they listened to him, if they stopped what they were doing, if they denied themselves, if they took up the cross to follow him, what would happen with their life? 12 people with their hearts set right turned the world upside down and changed the world as we know it today. 12 grew into 120, grew into the millions we have today because they decided they were going to take Jesus at his word. Real simple. We're all waiting on God to do something and pour some magical fairy dust in the middle of some meeting and start this thing called a revival. Man, Jesus and the apostles didn't go around talking about here comes the revival. They walked around telling people to repent. They walked around telling people to change the way they think. This is the truth, okay? I want revival. I want more of God. I want more glory too. I'm not an anti-revivalist. I'd say I'm more of a revivalist. But it ain't what they went around saying. They went around telling people to repent because the kingdom was there. They went around telling people to change the way they think because God's way of doing things was the way of doing things. The world system is junk. How many times you go to a doctor and you don't find your healing? You don't find your wholeness. How many times you go to somebody for help and you still got anxiety? How many times you try to squander money, try to collect money and find there's just a hole in the bottom of your pocket? The world system is fleeting. It's fading. This is the kingdom of darkness, but the kingdom of light shines in the middle of darkness. And we shine as lights in the middle of a dark world. So I really didn't come here to tell you about a ministry that I do today. And I really didn't come here to put any guilt on you or any pressure on you to go talking to people at Walmart like I like to do. I came here to remind you what God said about you, who God says you are. You are made in his image. You are his sons and daughters of the King. You are royalty. You're not just saved sinners. You're sons and daughters. If my son gets in trouble, he doesn't go around saying, I'm a boy who was in timeout. He doesn't go around saying, my older son doesn't go around saying, I'm a boy who didn't have his cell phone for a period of time. No, he says, my name's Caleb, or he says, my name's Josh. They say their name. They say their identity. Their identity isn't who they were. Their identity isn't their problem. Their identity isn't their struggle. Their identity isn't the demons that try to keep them from who God said they are. Their identity is exactly who God said they are. in his image. Whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. We read so much of this stuff that it's happening when he comes back. That it's happening when we die. When we meet Jesus. But I read a living word. You see, I don't read a dusty old Bible. I don't read a history book. I read a living word. And it says that he came to bring life and that more abundantly. The gospel is now. If you're waiting for revival to come next week, next month, next year, it might never come for you. You might never see it. We are God's A game. And I'm not saying we can manufacture a move of God. You can't. We need him. We're nothing without him. We're but dust without his breath. Don't get it twisted what I'm saying here. We need him. He doesn't need us, but he's chosen us. There is more glory coming. There are more miraculous manifestations coming before he comes back. It's increasing. I see God in heaven just turning up the dial, opening the gate of the oil, just flowing out to everyone who's receiving it more and more and more. But the time, as it says in Revelation, the time is at hand. It's not going to be at hand. It is at hand. My message is this. Jesus is returning. He is coming back to establish his kingdom on this earth. You can look around and see it. You'd about have to have your head in the sand at this point to not see that things are getting set up for the return of the king. We have got to be in the word. We've got to be about the Father's business. We've got to be believing every single word that God says above what we say, above what we think about ourselves. If someone says something to you about you and it doesn't line up with the word of God, you should probably throw that word in the trash. If you think something about yourself and it doesn't line up with what this book says about you, you should probably throw it in the trash. Because a lot of times your feelings are a liar. The word says that the carnal mind is the enemy of God. Your natural brain is God's enemy. That's why the enemy likes to attack us there first. Our natural mind is God's enemy. We have the mind of Christ. It's time we start thinking like him, because he's calling us and he's commissioning us to be like him and walk like him. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Don't sell yourself short because you did something you weren't supposed to do this morning. Don't sell yourself short because you did something you weren't supposed to do yesterday or last week. The gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. We're called to live a holy life, but he will continue to use you. He will continue to transform you. He will continue to use you progressively. He is not waiting for you to hit some milestone for you to start sharing the gospel, start praying for people, start seeing people coming out of wheelchairs, start seeing people get saved. He's not waiting for you to hit some milestone to do that. The milestone is follow me. He made it simple. This thing up here, the carnal mind, it makes it hard. If we want to be more like Jesus, the message hasn't been wait for revival. The message has always been repent. It's always been change the way you think. You are made in his image. You're called to be conformed to his image. I'm blessed to be here tonight to share with you all. I'm humbled to be here. If you feel like God's been tugging on your heart these last couple weeks, these last couple months, these last few months, if you feel like he's been saying, I got more for you. If you feel like you've been saying, I keep missing it. But you feel God keep picking you up and saying, I got more for you. If you know you got a call on your life, and you feel like you missed it, or you feel like it hasn't happened yet, I want to pray for you. I know Derek has some prayer time here at the end, and I'm really looking forward to that because I covet your prayers too. But if you want to put a hand up or whatever, I just want to pray for you right now and break the lies off of you and just speak a blessing over you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for everyone who is humble enough and real enough and raw enough to say, God, I want more. To say, God, send me, I'll go. To say, Jesus, use me. Lord, I just break every lie and device and assignment of the enemy off of their minds right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for a fresh day, for a fresh night, for a fresh outpouring, Lord. I thank you that you're going to use them mightily. We agree for more, Jesus, right now in your name. Thank you, Lord. That's really all I got, guys. I'm not going to stand up here and ramble all night. I don't see a need for that. But I trust that the word of God that he had me bring has left a seed in your heart tonight. And my prayer is that it grows and that you start believing even more. Not that you haven't already. Like I said, I know I'm preaching to the choir here. My prayer is for more. My prayer is for seeing more of who he says you are. Love you guys. Thank you.
Stay up here, man. Come on, let's hear it for our brother here, man. He just laid it out there. We want to give him a compliment just like he was preaching earlier. We want him to be real humble. As he was sharing at the end, and you guys raised your hand, some of you, I feel like we need to pray more into that for some of you. Maybe some of you just really, that resonated what he was sharing, and you're like, that nailed me. I want to, you know, we always kind of get up in a circle here to pray into stuff further, but let's kind of target what Brother Josh was kind of giving a shout out to or calling out right at the end there. If there are a few of you that you're like, man, let's really lock into that. I want to have Josh lay hands on people. And we kind of talked about laying hands on him, and I want to do that. But if you're saying, man, could I get a little more? Why don't we all just kind of get in a circle? But if you needed just a little bit extra, I'm going to have Josh pray for you. So come on up. Make your way up here. The whole family is going to gather up here. As you're coming up, Donnie, so you said Michelle was on the Facebook Live, right?
Yes.
Michelle, if you're still watching, we love you. Everybody say hi to Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
That was really loud. That's how much we love you is how loud she just yelled. We love you. We miss you. Tear it up for Jesus in Thailand. And we're praying for you, Michelle, regularly, night and day. We're praying for you, lifting you up, and we're hoping that you're feeling better physically because we know you were ill. We love you, sister, and may the Lord bless the whole mission and all the team there working in Thailand in Jesus' name. Okay. Well, if you're really wanting more prayer, we're going to go kind of off mic here. But just step into the middle, and we're going to have Josh and a few others just lay hands on you. Don't trip on my mic cord there. And, maybe everybody wants more prayer. Yes. And if you're not in the middle, you're the ministry team. But we're going to let Josh take the lead here and just be led by the Holy Spirit, speak prayers and encouragements, prophetic words. We're going to throw on some light music and just let the Holy Spirit do his thing. I feel like we need to give more time to what our brother shared at the end there. So go ahead and just take over. Brother Josh, pray for us, man.